Welcome to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Today's episode is all about U.S. history. But don't expect any pilgrims, the original undocumented immigrants. No, instead, we're going to zoom in on the rich Spanish and Latino history of this country, the narratives you didn't hear about in school. That is, unless your school was Notre Dame University and your professor was Felipe Fernandez Armesto. Felipe is the author of Our America, A Hispanic History of the United States. And he starts our show with a question.
The question you have in mind is one that I put to candidates for a professorship in the colonial period of U.S. history. And the question is, what was the first enduring European colony in what is today U.S. territory? Yeah, easy question. What's the answer?
Well, I guess if I was thinking back on my education, being educated here in the United States, I would probably say it's the British colonies, right?
Yes, excellent. Yes, you should go to the top of the class, Maria, but your teachers should go to the bottom of the class, because that's the answer everybody's taught, and it's wrong.
So the right answer is what?
Well, the right answer's got to be a Spanish colony. The Spaniards were in New Mexico years before there was any permanent English colony in the United States. They were in Florida long before that. Indeed, you know, Spanish has been spoken in what is now the United States for more than 100 years, longer than English has been. It's not a story of immigration. It's a story of, you know, long-standing presence. People in the United States are, well, I wouldn't say perhaps undereducated about their own history, but educated with a certain twist, a certain bias that's distorting and that blots out a big part of the picture.
Most of the time, the narrative when we're learning American history is this whole east to west, right? But there's a whole other way of looking at American history, which is really south to north.
Yeah, I think if you think of the United States as a fabric, you know, like the flag, you've got to have strands going from up and down as well as from side to side. And it's as if, you know, the history of the United States had been written unidimensionally, only going in one direction, the manifest destiny story, this great unrolling, unfolding of the country from sea to shining sea. But, you know, there's a strengthening element, which is the Hispanic colonization, which has proceeded from south to north, and has crisscrossed the Anglo story. And I think one should celebrate that and welcome it.
And that's what today's episode is all about, celebrating the part of U.S. history that takes place in Español. We're going to start our journey in Laredo, Texas, or Laredo, Texas. It's a city packed with history, located on the U.S.-Mexico border.
So we're looking at the border right now.
We're looking at the border right now. I'm trying to get over to the next lane so we're not crossing into Mexico.
That's Blasita López, the head of tourism for Laredo. She took us out for a spin in her white Suburban.
So we're coming into what I call the epicenter of Laredo. Our cathedral here is the major iconic landmark.
I immediately feel like I'm in Mexico. I mean, the hotel is called La Posada, and on my right, we have una plaza, which is like the typical center of town in Mexico, but we're in the United States.
Hints of the city's Hispanic history are everywhere in Laredo. For example, like in the Spanish-style Central Plaza, first laid out in 1755. Or just in talking to people, the history is in their own family stories. Take Blasita, for example, whose family has been in South Texas for centuries.
And at one point the border was north of them, and then the border moved to the river that was south of them, and that's where it stayed. That's the current, you know, U.S.-Mexico border. And so they never moved, but they were Mexicans at one point, and then they were Texans, and then they were Americans.
My family's been here since 1785.
Or Jay Puig.
Yeah, we immigrated from Spain, and when Spain still owned this part of the country, and we immigrated at that time and been here ever since.
Jay says his family has stayed generation after generation because nowhere else feels quite like home.
Where else can you live in the United States and have this kind of culture? I mean, for all practical purposes, people in Mexico say they live in the United States, and people in the United States say they live in Mexico because we live right on the border, you know?
Laredo's culture isn't Mexican or American. It's both at the same time. Strangers greet you interchangeably in English or in Spanish. The shopping malls all have taquerias inside of them. And just scan through the radio dial. But the greatest example of all is the reason we came here in the first place, the annual George Washington birthday celebration. You heard right. George Washington. You probably know by now that Mexicans don't really celebrate Cinco de Mayo. But here on the border, this 96% Latino city, literally a stone's throw from Mexico, hosts the most bombastic celebration of Washington's birthday in the entire country. And it's been going on for 116 years. Every year, for almost the entire month of February, there's galas, parties, social events, parades, and street fairs. But for Laredo's centuries-old upper crust, the main event is the Society of Martha Washington Pageant and Ball. It's a debutante ball where girls from wealthy Mexican-American families dress up like Martha Washington and other wives of America's founding fathers. The girls are known as Las Martas.
You will be overwhelmed. Overwhelmed.
Linda Leindecker Gutierrez is the most in-demand dressmaker for the pageant. She's in her 70s and still tromps around like a pro in 4-inch heels.
This is the Martha from last year, which was my beautiful daughter who works with me.
The green one?
Yes. And it is, the color is of the period. The fabric is of the period of colonial times.
Linda walked us through her showroom in an old Victorian home she owns near downtown.
I mean, honestly, my jaw is dropping because I've never, you know, you see these in las vitrinas of museums, right?
Yeah, I've never seen anything this good in any museum.
She might not be modest, but she's not exaggerating either. Think of the biggest, frilliest, most extravagant dress you can imagine, and then cover it in exquisite glass beadwork. They can weigh up to 100 pounds. Linda's work is highly prized in Laredo.
They call me from the hospital, and I laugh because I go, well, I'm in my 70s, but sure, I'll do it.
You mean they call you after they've given birth to a daughter, and they say,
oh, yes.
We want you to be ready to make my daughter's dress.
Oh, yes. I think it's hilarious.
As you can imagine, the dresses don't come cheap. But how much do they cost?
This is my answer, and it always has been. You see these lips? They are sealed. It's the utmost rudeness to come down to Texas and ask somebody, how many acres do you have or how many wells do you have?
Wells as in oil wells. Many of Laredo's wealthy families got rich from selling drilling rights on their land, land granted to their ancestors by the Spanish kings hundreds of years ago. Meanwhile, at the salon, it's the day of the pageant, and hairdresser Grace Torres is busy defying physics, one colonial-style updo at a time. She gets booked years in advance.
And people reserve themselves like 3 years. Like next year I have 3 to do. The following year I have another 3 more girls.
See, so there's no way I could do a walk-in hair appointment today.
Well, no.
You see, I'm the only one who's going to have the flattest hair tonight.
Sorry about that.
The place is packed with debutantes getting ready for their big moment.
Well, I'm Abigail Adams, and my escort is John Adams.
Actually, that's 17-year-old Karina Alexander. She's playing Abigail tonight. If you ask Karina what this is all about, she'll give you the same answer most Laredoans give. It's a tradition.
All of us have really dreamed about this since we were little girls. I've grown up like watching the pageants like every year, and both my sisters were presented and my mom. So as a little girl, you're like, Mom, I want to do that.
You know, there are people outside of Laredo, when they find out that Laredo has the biggest George Washington birthday celebration, they actually think it's quite strange. What do you say to them?
I honestly don't find it weird. Like, we're in America, we're a part of them just as much as the people over there. Like, just because we're on the border doesn't mean we can't celebrate our first president.
A few hours later, in a massive auditorium, the moment has arrived. Karina is the first to be presented.
The Society of Martha Washington proudly presents their daughters.
Ms. Karina Marie Alexander.
At first, I thought this celebration was odd, a little crusty, a little over the top. But as the days went by, I began to understand it much more. But for the people here, there's no conflict between having Mexican or Spanish origins and celebrating George and Martha. In fact, they complement each other. Take it from Minita Ramirez, president of the Society of Martha Washington.
George Washington, even though he really wanted a private life with Martha, he also understood that he had a responsibility. And when he was called to act, he told her, I have to do this. And so it's about doing the right thing all the time. It's very much a Mexicana or Hispanic value, is that family comes first and you take care of your people and you do the right thing.
Minita says if George and Martha were here today, they'd be pro-Latino.
In our society that we live in today, do I really think that George Washington would say, tú sí y tú no? I don't think so.
For proof, she says, just read the Constitution that Washington helped create.
We thank you for joining us this evening as we celebrate and continue the tradition of linking our past with our present.
We'll revisit Laredo towards the end of our program, but for now, to see pictures of the Jorge y Martha Washingtons of Laredo, Texas, including Congressman Henry Cuellar as George Washington himself, stop by our website, latinousa.org.